This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Number two, it is VSiN by the Books here in this Thursday edition of I'm Dave Ross here, Circus Sports, Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, on the road again in the Raleigh-Durham area there in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Are you just off of Franklin Street there? Did you see the Tar Heels on the way in?
I haven't yet, but we are right outside a campus, or I guess we're inside, outside, however you want to look at it. We're in the intimate setting here. Of Chapel Hill. I have to say, as you well know, some of the friendliest people you run into the airport. Very easy in and out here. I will give you a shout out too. That's the first time I've been through Reagan National, and I don't know how long. It is swanky. Oh right? My, they did a lot in there. It is. I had some PF Chang's yesterday. I was just sitting there like. Really? This is okay.
Because Dulles,
that's nice. Let's go.
Like Dulles is the big boy airport in the DC area, right? Reagan's kind of smaller there, really close. As your beautiful pictures, by the way, if you check them out on X, I thought it was fantastic of the monument coming in. Like it is picturesque, right? And you go, wow. Nation's capital, baby. You get that feel when you come in on Ronnie's airport there. So great to have you with us here from Raleigh-Durham there in Chapel Hill. Tell the people again where they can access you and what you're going to be doing this weekend.
Yeah, we're here covering the Super Regional for the Arizona Wildcats, North Carolina Tar Heels, and that gets underway on Friday. So tomorrow I'll jump on with you guys. In the morning, do a little preview, not only of our Super Regional, but the field. We're down to 16 teams here, so 8 Super Regionals across the landscape. For people, Dave, that are just jumping into college baseball, again, in this round, 4 Super Regionals get underway tomorrow, and then the other 4 will get underway on Saturday. So we actually get the privilege of being the first pitch of the Super Regional round at high noon Eastern time. Tomorrow on ESPN2. So can't wait to kick it off. Eric, Freddie, and I will be on the call. And safe to say, buddy, you know these parts at this time of year. We'll have some rain throughout the afternoon today. And then crank up the heat and the humidity. About mid-90s is what they're talking tomorrow and Saturday. Thank God we got the dry fits, man.
We're going to need it.
It is going to be sweaty.
You know, the first time I felt like an adult, I was covering high school baseball for Garner High, not too far from where you are in the Raleigh-Durham area. And I used to take my chair, sit on top of the dugout, keep score and keep my notes for my stories. And the players would pop their heads out and say, "Hi, Mr. Ross." And I was like, "Mr. who's Mr. Ross?"
Mr. Ross.
I was like, "Oh, my God, I'm like an adult. I was just those kids." Let's get to it. Hour number two. It's time for our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Boy, there was no feeling out process in game one last night. Bang, you got Leon Draisaitl, first minute of the game there, getting that first goal on the board. And then here comes Florida. They get 2 at the end of one. They're up 2-1. They get one early in the second. They're up 3-1. Everything looks great. And then here comes the comeback, and it's Draisaitl, bookends in overtime. Opening goal, closing goal. And here we go. Grand opening, grand closing. Game one goes to Edmonton, 4-3, the final in overtime. Draisaitl now plus 450 here to win the Conn Smythe. Connor McDavid has gone to odds on, minus $1.50 to win that. Jensen, a scintillating game one here to get this thing started. If you're Bobrovsky and you got that 3-1 lead, do you go, "Oh, man, I kind of let this one get away"? Because there were parts in the game where he and Stuart Skinner, by the way, were very, very good despite this game going over that total of 6.5.
Yeah, and again, credit where it's due, right? Florida did what any road team needs to. Get out early, try and take that big, loud Edmonton crowd out of it. And for a moment there, you felt, okay, here we go. The champs know what they're doing, and they're going to kind of impose their will here. But been a narrative for most of Edmonton's postseason run that when they get behind, it almost feels like that's where home is for them, and they kick it into gear. And they certainly did. Eventually get the equalizer there to force overtime. And then with 30 seconds left, Draisaitl, the bookender, gets the first of the night and the last of the night. Everyone drive home happy there in Alberta. So it's going to be fun to see what the bounce back looks like here for the Panthers. You do feel heart of a champion that they are going to make a handful of adjustments there. Never want to blow a multi-goal lead on the road, especially in the Stanley Cup final. What is the number, Dave? What, 77% of game one winners in the Stanley Cup final go on to hoist the cup? So if you are an Edmonton backer, you feel pretty good about where you're at right now. If you are a Florida backer, a good time to jump in, right? Because we do feel that this series goes a long way, and that 4-2, 4-3 exacta might be where you want to go if you think the Panthers ultimately come back and win this one.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be one of those scenarios where that was the best game we saw was game one. It's going to be all one-way traffic the rest of the way. Although the odds makers now, over a $2 betting favorite here for Edmonton, minus 210 to win this series. So interesting number shift there. The numbers, by the way, have not shifted at all. You can still get Colorado at 500-1 to win the NL West. But they got a sweep under their belts. They get three in a row as you break up the Rockies and they sweep the Fighting Fish down there in Miami. They're the hottest team right now in the NL West is off today. They're going to get a day off before they host the Mets. We're kidding about this, a lot of tongue-in-cheek here, but up to 12 wins now in the year. And again, we talked about it here with Jeffrey Benson and the boys here at Circa. You could have had 5,000-1 on the Rockies to have the best record in the month of June. I still don't think there's any chance that that hits. But now, if you had that, nobody's got the ticket in pocket. That's the bigger story, Jensen. Nobody took a bite of that apple.
It's remarkable, right? And when you think about where just the race for the worst record in Major League Baseball is, it's probably up there near where Aaron Judge is to win the American League MVP. Like, it's just a non-bettable market at this point. So, to each their own. Don't know if it's a bigger indictment on the Marlins for not being able to take at least one in your home ballpark in front of tens of tens, Dave. Not tens of thousands. Great seats were still available for that three-game sweep. History will tell you that so many people were there or not there to see it. By and large, these are two teams that are going to be selling at the deadline. You know, we kind of looked at Colorado in the starting pitching, right? We're saying if you can get like a Freeland or, you know, Herman Marquez out of Coors Field, perhaps they're serviceable. They may not be knockdown starters, but Dave, when we get to the All-Star break and we've already seen the attrition here for starting rotations throughout Major League Baseball, if you're a contender and you're trying to get guys rehabbed and get them back for the stretch run, you know, those are assets that, hey, maybe they're not part of your postseason plan. And even if they are, they may not be as big of a factor once you get your big guns back. But don't be surprised, especially in Colorado, if there are some contenders that come calling just for some reinforcements with rotations that have been vastly injured or undermanned. I would expect Colorado to be open for business here in the coming weeks.
Heavyweight matchup, though, is going to start tomorrow night at Coors Field. The Red Hot Rockies and the Red Hot Metropolitans. Something's got to give. Just saying. And by the way, again, props to Circa for giving you an honest number, 5,000-1, to have the best record in June, and still nobody bit. That's kind of my bigger point we talked about the other day. Come on, DraftKings and the like. Make that number 5,000-1 to win the division. Come on. Give them a fair price. It should not be 500-1. That's all we're saying. I don't know what the number is right now on the A's to win the AL West, but you can jack that one up as well. They lose again to the Twins last night, 6-1. Now, Jensen, we're on a heater, but in the wrong way. We're on a cold streak. 1-20 since May 14th after this loss last night. And this is the interesting thing here. And again, 200-1 to win the division odds with this losing streak here. So do that math of where they were and where they are in this 1-20 streak. It feels like because all the focus is on the Rockies and to a degree the White Sox the last year, we're not talking about this historically bad run that the A's are on. They've got talent, Jensen. They've got some. Is this a byproduct of, you know, we're in Oakland, now we're in Sacramento, we're a vagabond team, we're a team without a home. You're going to come to Vegas eventually. Like, is it hard as a major leaguer to kind of put that stuff aside and play good baseball?
I think honestly, and I'm pulling up the numbers right now just to look overall statistically where they are in just their various groups. And, you know, to me, the first thing is obviously late game execution. We talk about that a lot with the Red Sox and the inabilities that they've had to get, you know, their wins across line. By the way, can we just say, and I was on the plane, I was landing, you and Joe Cirillo were fantastic. We were texting before I left yesterday. So I gave out yesterday the over 10 in that Angels and the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it almost got there after one inning, which just was mind-boggling to even see. But I had Red Sox run line, right? And, you know, I land and Joe texts us, never in doubt. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's the shortest walk-off homer I've ever seen, right around Pesky's pole. And I thought about it again, and I'm like, okay, you know, it's been a minute since we've just tagged a Sacramento over, right? So I think today's the day. Locking in, if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, over 10.5 for that Minnesota and Athletics game this afternoon. But as I look at the numbers, Dave, and I'll throw this out to you, back into their bullpen for the A's has been horrendous. Dead last in bullpen ERA, dead last in whip, highest walks per nine allowed, oof, highest hits per nine allowed. I'm sorry, there's no resistance. I mean, it's a sieve. So, again, something to factor in here, and I told you this about the field conditions having played there many moons ago. When you don't get a break on that field, because when the Major League team leaves, that's when the AAA team comes in.
Right.
That carpet, that grass is going to get burned down, and there's going to be a lot of balls getting through the infield that otherwise would not. So keep that in mind. But over 10.5, official play for Twins and Athletics in the series finale today.
I like it, but if you're an A's backer, you do not like what you've seen in the last 21 games. That's for sure. Right now, the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, certainly heating up. We got Game 1 tonight between OKC and Indiana. ProfitX, they're offering the best odds all playoff season long. So ProfitX, if you don't know, it's a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states. First of its kind here in the United States. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than the books themselves. That exchanges are going to guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%, even request your own odds. So download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month with the code VSIN. We are back with the Daily Diamond next.
By the books, right here on VSiN.
We're back, VSiN by the books. Mike Palm's going to join us here in studio in the very next segment. We mentioned the RBC Heritage is going on right now north of the border in Toronto, Canada. We got our rabbit. Chad Ramey is running out right now. First round leader bets out there. I know people like my guy Ferdy Tolentino's in this market as well. We do not have action on Chad Ramey right now, Jensen. He's 3 under through 5. So we don't root against people. That's bad, poor etiquette in golf. But in your bets, sure, you don't want that rabbit to run too far out. So he's uncatchable. We'll keep updating that. Rory McIlroy, by the way, even par to begin his day through a couple holes. But without further ado, let's get to it. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. I'm old enough to remember the Royals and the Cardinals in the 80s and a blown call, Dan Dechinger, and then Joaquin Andujar lost his you-know-what in Game 7, and the Cardinals lost that World Series. Is there revenge? Do we have to let that go if you're St. Louis all these decades later?
Sure. But as it pertains to today, you get the washout yesterday, and this was going to be a play for me yesterday anyway, so let's bring it back. Get a day to marinate on how the Royals put up 10 against the Cardinals pitching staff, and we're able to get the series opening win of that series. So Game 1, remember, day-night doubleheader, and so just to underline this in bold for people, this is a play on Game 1. Yes, Dave, no leans in Daily Diamond today. Outside of some college baseball stuff.
Love it.
We're going to have plays today. Okay, so this was going to be a run line play for me yesterday on the Cardinals. Miles Michaelis gets a start against Noah Cameron in Game 1. The Cardinals have won 6 of the last 7 games that Michaelis has started. They've also, in those 6 wins, Dave, won by 2 or more runs in 4 of the 6 contests. So let's keep with it here. Game 1, Noah Cameron's actually been pretty solid for the Royals, but I do think the Redbirds get off the mat here and they get after it here in Game 1.
You know what? I think people sometimes goes, well, why do you guys, you talk about leans a lot. I'm like, well, lineups aren't out. There's a lot of things that normally are not out. We knew about these starting pitchers yesterday. You do have some solid plays to begin the show today. So how about the Orioles? A little bit resurgent right now in the Pacific Northwest. What do you make of their matchup today against the M's?
All right, buddy. It's Sade sing Smooth Operator?
Yeah.
If I have that.
Sade, yeah.
Do I remember that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sade. That's right. That's right. Sade sing Smooth Operator.
What a great song.
We do have real life examples of the Smooth Operators in the Pacific Northwest today. And that would be Zach Eflin, who gets a start for the Baltimore Orioles, and Brian Wu. How about these numbers, Dave? Very respectable for Eflin on the road, undefeated with the 3.68 ERA. Even better for Mr. Wu time there at T-Mobile Ballpark. So four home starts, a .173 ERA. Let's not overthink this, Dave. Under 7.5 in the spacious ballpark there for Seattle. Offense at a premium here. So, yeah, official play, under 7.5. Let's go.
Smooth Operator. If that song doesn't put you in a serious mood, I mean, what a great song, right?
So yacht rock.
Yeah, that's right up Wes Reynolds' alley, that's for sure. How about the Rangers and Rays? My goodness, what's happened to Texas and what's going on with Tampa Bay?
All right, so is there a ray of hope? And I put the S on there. There have been rays of hope here. And as we talked with Cody Decker, these guys have been kind of silent, but moving on up here in their standings. So, again, at home here, so always a great opportunity for the hitters. Jack Leiter gets a start for the Texas Rangers, has gotten four or more runs of support in three of his last four starts overall. Ryan Pepiot, how about this one? Rays have been swinging the bats when he's taken the mound there at George Steinbrenner Field. Six or more runs of support in two of the last three home starts. If you can get the flat nine, that's what I would get. Maybe some 9.5s out there. Get the flat nine, official play over nine for the Texas and Tampa tilt tonight.
Very quickly, because I think we talk a lot about the Braves, and I get it, because that when you look at the roster and you feel like this team should be playing a lot better than they are. The Braves, 6 games under .500, 11 games out in the East. What about the Rangers now? 4.5 back behind Houston. Seattle, by the way, is a half game behind H-Town there for first place. And the Angels right now are a half game behind Texas. Like, at some point, is it better? Do you have to start quitting Texas? Or do we still think there's enough time to turn this thing around?
Great question, Dave. And here, the numbers are so stark. In contrast, okay, so rotation ERA for the Rangers, number two in big league baseball. They have the lowest rotation whip right now. They have the lowest hits per nine allowed. They have the fourth fewest homers per nine allowed. Like, their rotation is just bananas good right now. Back into the bullpen, very serviceable, above average. Their offense, though, that has been the issue. That's why I keep telling you, I'm like, God, if they were able to put this thing together from an offensive standpoint, they'd be blowing the doors off some people. So they're 28th in team average, 29th in on-base, 28th in OPS, 27th in runs. Just so uncharacteristic for the talent they have on this roster.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, if they are a buyer and they get a bat maybe for the deadline, help fortify that lineup, maybe a team to look at here for the second half. But let's talk some super regionals, my friend. Tell the people what you got today in this edition of Daily Diamond.
All right, Omaha. Oh, we're holding the line here. by line, we'll give you some leans here. Maybe a handicap for each game as I see it.
Okay.
As we head into tomorrow. So Friday's games, I mentioned, Dave, for people just joining us. Four Super Regionals get underway tomorrow, and then the other four get underway on Saturday. Here are your matchups in chronological order. So North Carolina and Arizona game I'll be calling tomorrow afternoon. The run line for North Carolina is at 2.5 right now. Now, I'm going to tell you right away, some great pitching here for North Carolina, maybe one of the best overall staffs in the ACC. They've got a pitcher of the year candidate in Jake Knapp, who's going to take the ball tomorrow. Gavin Gallagher, who was the most outstanding player of the Chapel Hill Regional. How about 13 hits and 10 RBI? Is that going to work for you? Yeah, I think that'll work. The Wildcats, though, are very solid. I had them in the Tucson Regional last year. I do lean that Carolina gets the game one win. Miami and Louisville, two teams that have some really solid pitching as well. I think they can stymie each other. The under 12 there is a place I would look. Florida State, Oregon State, we could see offense abounding in this series. Jamie Arnold, though, who could be a candidate for the number one overall selection in the upcoming Major League Draft, will go for Florida State. Do think that Oregon State's offense could provide some resistance against him. And then, Dave, maybe the hottest team right now in all of college baseball, the Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina. I tell you, you talk about pressure on the SEC after the face plant that they did in the regionals. Auburn has got the weight of the world on their shoulders to try and win this super regional at home, and they get no favors done by having to take on Coastal Carolina. I think, The winning streak is in the 20s. 20 some odd straight wins for Coastal Carolina. Here's where the fun begins.
Okay.
All right. Saturday we get Cinderella. First game of the day. Murray State at Duke. And I gave you the subplot of the Duke Blue Devils situation. Hopefully we get some more news on this today. So Ben Miller, who had a hit-by-pitch, he's right. One of their studs in the middle of the order, and A.J. Gracia, who potentially could be suspended for Saturday's super regional opener because of the whole snafu with the
Crazy.
Prop and the construction helmet. You're looking at potentially how this could go Cinderella's way, just momentum, things like that. So something to watch there, going to be a fun matchup. West Virginia, LSU, under 11, two great pitching staffs. I think they can limit the offenses. The series, the super regional, everyone will be paying attention to. Two teams I told you that hate each other, Tennessee, Arkansas. Mm. I lean the dog here because Tony Vitello's group somehow, some way, usually gets the better of Dave Van Horn and company, but that will be back and forth. And if you're ready for some offense, get ready for it at Jackie Robinson Stadium, UTSA, UCLA, over 12. Those are my game one leans for the people out there.
Very quickly, for the first game you're going to see there with North Carolina, you mentioned the run line there, laying 2.5 against Arizona. For people that are new to college baseball and they see, look, I know we saw some with the Rockies in Major League Baseball, some 2.5 numbers there on the run line. Can you say, like, in college, like we saw LSU, I believe it was 5.5 is what they were over Arkansas Little Rock. And they were down, what, 4 runs early. And they came back and almost even covered that run line. They didn't. So Little Rock got the money there. Is 2.5 a more doable in college baseball, obviously, than Major League Baseball here, that you don't need to shy away necessarily from some of those bigger numbers?
And especially with, at home teams and with aluminum bats, Dave. I mean, no lead is traditionally safe in college baseball. But when you have the pedigree of the pitching that North Carolina has, not only in their rotation, but in the back end of their bullpen, opportunity to be able to make those leads stand up. So, again, rare that you would see a run line potentially be a play because, as you said, there's ones that are astronomical, 4s, 5s. They're out there for the lopsided matchups. But that would be my lean for that game tomorrow afternoon.
Fascinating. By the way, we're going to be hitting the road here as a network going to the College World Series. That's going to be in Omaha. So going to be live June 12th through the 14th. Broadcasting straight from Rocco's, the iconic home of the Jello Shot Challenge. So you can see Money Moves there with JVT and Stormy. Follow the money with Mitch and Paul there live from Omaha. Of course, Jensen Lewis is going to be there for us. Going to bring you the sights, sounds, and the best bets from the entire tournament. And if you are in the neighborhood, stop on by, say hi to the crews. We don't bite. Maybe even a Jello Shot or two will be done after the workday is completed because we are professionals here at Visa. When we come back, speaking of pros, we got the great Mike Palm who's going to join us in studio. We'll catch up on what the books are seeing here so far for game one and overall for OKC, a massive betting favorite against the Pacers. Come on back. That's next year on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here, the Thursday edition of. We're going to have Aaron Halterman join us to begin hour number 3, talk about the ponies, what's going to go down to the Belmont Stakes. And then Reed Kuhn is going to join us to round out the program, talking all things UFC 316 that weekend. This weekend, rather, is going to be 2 title fights on hand here for that Saturday night card there in Jersey. But right now, always a pleasure. Whenever Mike Palm's in town, because the guy is like a man about town. Mike Palm, kind enough to join us in studio here on this Thursday. Mike, you and Derek, you guys have been on the road a lot lately. How is Chicago?
And next week, I'll be with Jensen in Omaha.
In Omaha.
Where Derek and I and crew are flying out on Wednesday morning. Mitch and Paul will be flying commercial. I don't know how the invite got lost. But last week, we left the same thing early Wednesday morning, and we flew to Franklin, Kentucky. Well, we flew to a little airstrip in Tennessee right over the border and drove 15 minutes to Franklin to see the expansion at the Met.
How's it look?
It looks tremendous.
Wow.
They built this big new center bar there that's in front of what was the temporary book, but it looks great. The book is coming right along. The VSiN studio there is tremendous. I was just telling you, like, It'll be great for podcasters, local, you know, sure, sports guys that want to do their shows. But the desk swivels, so you can either be looking at the camera or you can turn it around to look out into the book. The window actually opens. These windows open. Maybe there's some crowd surfing that could go on
and
Saturday
like
or Sunday.
There's a racetrack right behind
they run 6 days a year. But the purses are incredible. They get a lot of horses from Europe now.
Wow.
The lowest purse last year was $150,000 because it's fed through the historical racing machines. Not slot machines, historical racing machines that make that casino. And, of course, everybody comes up from Nashville. It's only 30 minutes away. Yeah. It's 80% of the, maybe more than that, the license plates in the lot are Tennessee. But so that's going along very well. And then we flew into Chicago Saturday night. We basically spent the day Thursday with the Blackhawks execs and some meetings, season and recaps, and then we had dinner with them Thursday night. Then we tailgated for the Reds and Cubs, the Friday 1:20 local time game, which we were in the bleachers, so I'm glad it was cloud cover and a little drizzly so we didn't get burned to death. But then probably the Cubs' worst game of the homestand, but it was fun. We got to go in the booth, Derek and I, and call the third inning with Pat and Ron, so on the radio side for 670 The Score. So it was great.
Sounds like a really good week there that you had out there, out and about. We were talking about this yesterday in the program. It's been a big topic of conversation on the network as well, with you guys there in Illinois. And we saw that what might transpire with the new tax on the bets and the number of bets, and then it can go up to 50 cents a bet from 25 cents. And I thought Derek was very candid with Mitch and Paul about that conversation of how kind of backwards this is, Mike. You know, I wonder if it does drive people, if it will drive them away from where you guys are there in Illinois, maybe go to Kentucky, maybe go to other places and come out here to Vegas more often. What's your takeaway on this new potential, I'd say, hiccup in sports gambling?
Well, it's more than a hiccup. Because who's to say? That's this year. Remember, last year he raised everything from 15 to these graduated taxes,
right,
which the big four are paying a lot, right? And we went from 15 to 20. They went from 15 to 40.
Wow.
I mean, he's going to turn it into New York, our beloved governor there. Miss Big Jim Thompson. Now, so this year it's now this quarter on every bet or 50 cents once you get to, you know,
threshold.
20 million bets.
Right.
We won't get there. We're not going to get to not in the foreseeable future, but it's still a quarter. So you have to look at the options because obviously we just can't take the hit. I mean, $1 million hit, you're going to give up in a state where, you know, I don't want to give away too much, but
sure.
I mean, you're talking about up to a third of our revenue. We just get to give away because of a new tax.
Mm.
Remember, we have a model that holds 2.5% basically. It varies based on sport, but anyhow. So what do you do? You know, is the minimum bet now 20? Is that how you get around? How can you pay a quarter on a dollar bet? We allow a dollar bet.
Right.
Or do you widen the splits? Is now 105, 105 minus 106, 106? And we don't have the tech that, like, can you make it so that if you're betting $1,000, the splits are 105? And if you're, but the tech doesn't exist, and would you want to do it? Or the nuclear option, which I told Derek at lunch we were discussing, what's our exit plan in Illinois? Right. I mean, it may become untenable. We cannot have a profitable business and look at, you know, what's it going to cost to get out. Obviously, we have partnerships and marketing deals in place for the next couple of years, but I don't see the way out of it. And to say that the cost won't be passed on the consumer is naive. Of course they will be, just like tariffs are.
Yep.
Yep, Mikey, again, I had told Dave a story just years ago where people in Ohio, when we weren't legalized just yet, were driving to Indiana mm-hmm. or driving to Michigan or Pennsylvania, and because, you know, just using the Super Bowl as an example, they would drive across state lines, be able to make their wagers and come back. Now, again, that was just a legalization, let alone the tax part of it. Just from a revenue standpoint, I told this to Dave yesterday. I don't understand how you can be this greedy about it. Like, am I looking at it the wrong way from that? Because this is a massive revenue generator for states anyway.
I think that there's the perception that the books do so well and the gambling industry does, how the odds are in the house's favor. That's an easy place to tax because they can overcome it because they have such great margins. Well, but they don't have such great margins. And one of the reasons why Nevada remains the leader is because your tax rate is 6.7%, right? I mean, we're talking about Missouri being in a very attractive place and looking at going to Missouri, who seems like they're going to start with a 10% tax. I mean, you have to look at all these things. What's the cost to get in the state? I mean, is there a high cost? Some of these states, it's $15 million
wow.
to apply for a license. What's the annual cost? What's the entry fee? Can you find a good partner in the state, right? I mean, there's all these factors. And it's very tough in these states that become less and less business friendly.
I'll tell you, I appreciate you guys pulling back the veil to see from your side, from the operator side, of what you're dealing with some of these states and these different entities, and why you go to places like Kentucky, and why you might be thinking of that nuclear option. So there are tentacles to what Illinois is doing out there, and I'm glad you guys are willing to share that with our listeners here, certainly, and viewers at VSiN. What about with the NBA Finals now, beginning game one tonight? It feels like, I don't want to say that there's a lack of interest in it, because, of course, we're going to watch it, we're going to bet it, we're excited to see if Indiana has a chance. But in the betting market, are you seeing people that are willing to back Indiana, or is this all one-way traffic on OKC?
So the big question is it four or five games, right? And, like, a very popular bet is under 5.5, because you cover 4-0 and 4-1. The tipping point is sort of 4-1, but that's minus 140 now. It started at 120 to 140. The sweep we had at plus 320, that's down to like plus 270, right? Whoa. So it's getting bad. The good thing for us is that we have a great result to Oklahoma City. Their odds dropped so quickly during the year because of their margin of victory, right? And how strong this team was defensively, that it's a great spot for us. We still win to Indiana, too. We lost a little bit to the Eastern Conference. People had some nice tickets on Indiana in the East. But I say this with a bit of caution, because the NBA is one of these sports that's really driven by props. I mean, you'll see nights where there's more bet on props than there are on sides and totals.
Yeah.
So there's still ways to bet, even if you think it's not going to be competitive games. There's, you know, people are still betting points and rebounds and assists and steals.
Mikey, well, any uptick so far? And I know that Derek has been so high on the growth of college baseball. What have you guys seen from a handle standpoint? And will we start to get a groundswell here with Supers and then ultimately the College World Series next week?
We're getting buried is what we've seen.
Really?
Is what we've seen. There's a couple of parlays that have hit, right? So we won't make a winner for this season. That's it's too far gone to overcome. But we see more people mixing Major League Baseball with college baseball now, where you didn't used to see that. People would make a three-team parlay of three college games, and other guys are betting pro base. You're now seeing them mix. You're seeing a three-team parlay of a mix of four-team of two and two in that. So hopefully the whole deal with VSiN too going out there brings some interest to it. I know there's more and more podcasts based on college baseball than I can ever remember, right? I mean, there's a ton of them you can listen to, guys, including Matt Grissom, that really follow the sport. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was going to ask you, Jensen, outside of the Pressing Three, you know, from when you played this game a lifetime ago to today, how much different is college baseball in 20 years?
It's a solar system. I could not even walk back to my dorm room without my parents probably getting me if my buttons were all the way down to my navel. I can tell you that with what I saw in Athens over the weekend. We got more eye black than I think Dave ever wore in combat, too. So it's a whole different world, Mikey. The bats are not as life-threatening, if you will, for a pitcher from back when I played. And you know, today they're much more subdued. But we saw 37 home runs in Athens, which might as well be Coors Field for college baseball, the way the ball flies out of Foley Field. So this sport is in such a great place from a competitive standpoint. The SEC falling on their face, with the ACC performing as well as they do, it creates that rivalry back and forth. It gets interest. So very excited to see how this weekend's going to play out.
That does not count as one of the Pressing Three. That was a sidebar, Jensen. It was a sidebar question, Your Honor. We will have Palms Pressing Three coming up in the very next segment. By the way, if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, you need to do so right now. You're going to get $41 off your annual subscription by using the promo code BOOK, the title of this show. You're going to get those daily best bets emailed to you from Bill Ady each and every day when you wake up in the morning. Exclusive betting splits, VSiN Watch app, the access to that. And that NFL betting guide is coming out July 1st. So do not wait. No better time than the present right now. VSiN.com/subscribe. And Josh Applebaum's got a book out there for you, too.
Proud graduate of MIS, the Massachusetts Institute of Sharpology.
NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. It's all there for you when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Palms Pressing Three is next.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the books on this Thursday edition. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, on the road in the Raleigh-Durham area there at Chapel Hill. Now, Jensen, even though you're on the road, you are not spared because it is time for one of the, I'd say, the highly anticipated segments we do here each and every week. It's time for Palms Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, here's the softball, Jensen. In both the NBA and NHL, we are having to endure increasingly long delays between the conference finals and the championship round, often due to preset TV schedules or broadcast demands. I personally know from a fan and bettor's perspective, this can drain the flow and excitement for the Pinnacle Series. Jensen, yourself having competed in high-stakes playoff environments where schedules can shift dramatically, how did those extended breaks affect you personally? And more importantly, how did they impact your team's momentum, rhythm, and or preparation for the biggest games of the year?
Fabulous question, Mikey. I lived right through it my rookie year in 2007. If you remember, the National League Championship Series, the Colorado Rockies went on that fantastic run. Ironically, we talk about them today as the worst club in Major League Baseball. Back then, when they were good, they ended up sweeping the Diamondbacks in the NLCS 4-0, and we were up 3-1 on the Boston Red Sox. Well, that ultimately went 7 games. We lost, and the Rockies had, I think, 8 or 9 days off. Now, that's an eternity in baseball. 4 days feels like forever in baseball at the All-Star break. Imagine doubling that. I believe they had to try and find some college teams to inter-squad against, and you could just tell in the first 2 games of the World Series, they had nothing there. They had no flow, no tempo whatsoever. We're behind on everything, so it matters a lot, and we still joke to this day that our series was basically the World Series because whoever won that was going to take care of business against the Rockies, just predicated, Mikey, off of how long that layoff was for Colorado.
Is there any way that you can be more flexible if you're a big boy TV network? And I know I was at Fox for a long time where it's like these things are set because we don't know how long the series are going to go previously to get to the finals. Is there a way to be flexible there?
Well, I mean, now you're on the networks, right? I mean, that these series. So I feel like what's ABC? They're going to they don't want to give up their Wednesday night lineup versus their Tuesday night lineup, and right now there's no programming anyhow. It's all reruns.
Right.
So what difference does it make?
So be
can't
flexible.
They be flexible?
Yeah.
Then, you know, the venues need some prep because they have concerts coming in.
That's
and
right.
Different things.
And I guess for the athlete, Jensen, that wouldn't bother you guys being flexible if you didn't know when game one was going to start.
So I believe it was either last year or the year before, guys, Major League Baseball made the adjustment that if both league championship series ended, I think within a couple of days of each other, they would move the World Series up. And so to kind of remove that long layoff, I'm almost positive it was either last year or the year before that for this sole reason, guys, of, you know, making sure that the competitive integrity stays as close to on par as it possibly can.
Appreciate you guys letting me have the sidebar.
The baseball does the window now, right? They say the earliest will start is this and the latest is so that they can be flexible.
Yes.
Okay,
correct.
Question two. Let's talk about the beloved LA Dodgers. They entered the season as the shortest priced favorite to win the World Series in over 20 years. They closed plus 225 at Circa before heading to Japan to take on the Cubs. Fast forward 2.5 months, and the consensus price is still plus 230.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting rotation would look to be the deepest in baseball. Is missing Snell. Of course, Glasnow's hurt again and gone. Sasaki. Kershaw can't strike anybody out and looks like merely a placeholder till they get others back, and perhaps a long reliever when it comes playoffs times. Yamamoto looks human, and Gonsolin's ERA is at 5. Are the Dodgers, who needed the Padres to go 25 consecutive innings without a run to escape the division round last year, getting way too much respect in the betting market?
Great point, Mikey. I think I've had this conversation with you on Bet on Chicago a few times, and even before the season, I think it's why I gave you the under on that win total. I did not have faith that this starting rotation, A, could be healthy enough, B, could have the depth enough to be able to get them over that threshold, let alone as you look towards October. I mean, they're going to be spending most of the next month or so just trying to get guys right, rehabbed, and built back up to get back into the big league rotation that they have in-house. And then also looking to the outside once we get to the All-Star break is having those conversations in earnest about maybe having to go outside the team then and make a trade or two for starting pitching. Now, Andrew Friedman and Brandon Gomes are going to do whatever they need to do. But as far as your question, are they still getting way too much respect? The first thing that came to mind was Scottie Scheffler, right? As soon as we think he's human, then he just flips the switch, man, and it's afterburners. No one's catching him. If the Dodgers get healthy, no one is catching them. But that's the biggest caveat. That's the biggest unknown is, can they get maybe I would even say a third of the starting pitching, and even their bullpen too, Mike, remember that. They got a lot of critical bullpen arms that are on the IL as well. If they get even just a third of those resources back internally, I don't know how anyone catches them.
They have a one-game lead currently over San Diego, a three-game lead over San Francisco, 6.5 over Arizona. They're minus 525 to win the division. 1, 3, 6.5. I mean, the Braves are 11 back, and they're sitting there still at 12-1. I mean, it's ridiculous pricing. Minus 525 and the Dodgers to win the division with a one-game lead.
Well, the long season of 162 games sort of takes the variance up, but the playoffs don't.
Right.
I mean, it's rare that the team with the best record wins at all. You see in the Stanley Cup this happen all the time, right? The President's Trophy is like a curse. Okay. question three, Jensen. I had a conversation this past weekend, actually, in Chicago, with a person who is very much an analytics-driven broadcaster who does a tremendous job in the baseball media and then tangentially the betting space. Now, I know he used to work for Driveline.
Oh.
So I expressed to him that teaching pitching to young men places too much emphasis on spin rate and not enough on command. He countered, Mike, how do you sell a 15-year-old kid that he's going to make millions of dollars if only he can improve his control? Jensen, who is right here?
I think it's a healthy marriage educating young players first and foremost on what it is. But the only way you get to increasing spin rate or being able to improve on those metrics is if you have the actual mechanics down. And some of the biometric technologies, some of the physio things that we're able to do now and identify, and especially even more at those younger levels. I mean, I can't even imagine the tools at my disposal today if I go back to being a 13-year-old and just knowing that we did it with the old VHS tapes, Mikey. My dad would tape me and we'd go back and we'd have to pause and, you know, you get the static through there and you're trying to identify, is my leg high enough? You know, am I staying back on the rubber? So the fact that we have the technology to do it is such an advantage. But I do think there's a healthy marriage. I mean, we see it even at the big league level where there are still guys like, they don't want all the data. Like they know how their body works. They know what feels good. And that's half the battle, is having confidence in what you know and what you feel. Because no data, I say this all the time, there's no algorithm that, you know, can quantify a guy that's come off, you know, some off the field issue and is turned around to play a day game. And how do you quantify whether he's going to be able to get an out or not in a big spot? Like there's no way to do that. What you can control is teaching at a young level the correct mechanics, the ability to command the baseball, and then once you have those building blocks and we can walk, then we can start to run with some of the advanced metrics with the spin rates and understanding why our pitches do what they do and how to improve those as well.
Jen said, I can remember being up at Legacy Club with Oral Hershiser and him going through the mechanics and how important the left toe, the way the toe points as you land, is and how changing it affects the way the ball is thrown. It's all interesting stuff. Maybe if Arizona can sweep North Carolina, I have an Arizona ticket, but if you get done in two, you can fly to Vegas Sunday night. It's the Maddox Charity Poker Tournament.
Wow.
Raleigh Fingers, Wally Joyner. I'm just going to give you the baseball guys. The crime dog, Fred McGriff, Vince Coleman, Steve Avery, a couple of Red Sox, Marty Barrett, Johnny Gomes, guy you know, Justin Grimm, is going to be here. I mean, that would be terrific.
Yes.
If you could fly out and maybe make a pit stop, say hello to your wife, and come out.
That's Sunday night?
$3,000 to get in the poker tournament. We still have about a dozen seats left, folks, if you're interested. And meanwhile, coming up here in about 10 minutes, you're going to have one of the best tennis matches of the year with the big bad Belarusian taking on Gil's girl, Iga Swiatek. I like Coco Gauff to roll Stinky Bosan. The two before her, the mental midget Pagula and the 18-year-old Russian with 15,000 frogs screaming at her, mentally broke down when that big of an underdog is in the match. Coco, that won't happen to.
Tell us what you really think.
This is the first match at six is going to be tremendous. And probably you're going to get Sinner and Alcaraz as a men's final. Really great tennis.
So you're going to be out at Omaha this time next week?
I will be.
So I won't have you here. You'll
I'll be
out there
next
with
to Jensen in his hotel room doing the show.
Everybody, there go out to Omaha. Say hi to the boys and to Stormy and to JBT. Everybody's going to be out there. It's going to be a great week for the network. Come on back. We're talking the ponies next with Aaron Halterman.